You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 15.
Episode 47.
This is Writing Excuses, world-building science fiction with Cory Doctorow.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Piper.
I'm Howard.
And I'm Corey.
So we're talking about world building and science fiction. Most of the time when we talk about world building, it's very fantasy oriented. But world building is actually something that you need to do regardless of what kind of fiction you're writing. And since Corey writes science fiction and is often near future, just around the corner science fiction, the world building that he does has to tie pretty tightly to what's going on in the real world. So how do you get there? How do you extrapolate?
Yeah, so I extrapolating is a good word for it, because I like to be really clear that it's never predicting, right? There's nothing more fatalistic than the idea that we can predict the future, because, you know, if there's one thing I believe and that kind of animates me, it's that we can change the future based on the choices that we make. So I like to feel like futuristic parables are a good way to understand the present, but they only work as parables if they feel plausibly futuristic. And there are some good cheap tricks for that. I often analogize near future SF to going to the doctor to get your throat swabbed, right? The doctor takes a swab of your throat. She puts it in a petri dish. She gives it 72 hours. What she's got then is not an accurate model of your body. She has this like usefully inaccurate model of your body, where she's taken one fact of your body that she wants to use to understand a factor that is otherwise drowned out by the noise of the thousand other processes going on in your body. And she's reified it. So it's the one fact in this little world in a bottle. And as science fiction writers, we can reach into the world and we can take a technology or a phenomenon and we can build a world around it in which that has a centrality that isn't predictive, because there would be all the confounding factors that would go into it. But by elevating it to the center of a narrative, we can equip the readers to understand the subtle effects of that technology as we're living in it now, which gives them a benchmark to understand it in the future. It becomes a kind of emotional architect's fly-through of a 3D model of what it would be like if, as this technology becomes more significant, more important.
World-building strep.
Yeah, well, exactly. And so, you know, drones are never going to be the only important thing in our world, but drones are going to have a big important effect on our world. And you could write a drone story where drones had a centrality that would let you think through some of those issues and give readers a vocabulary for comparing the world that they're in to it, you know, in the same way that we can say that mass surveillance is Orwellian. You know, you might be able to say that it's Robinette Coalian or Doctorovian or whatever, or Drakean, you know, if you found the right narrative and hooked it up the right way. So that diagnostic tool, that kind of predicting the present for me is a really useful way to think about science fiction and its role in the world.
I bought some solar powered sidewalk lamps at Walmart for like $5 and opened them up and realized they had AA rechargeable batteries in them. Huh. What I had was a $6 solar powered AA battery charger.
Right.
And it forced me to rethink every post-apocalyptic thing I've ever read, because now, boy, the lights aren't going off until I run out of rechargeable batteries.
Right.
Because and I'm not likely to run out of those soon if it's like a zombie post-apocalypse. This kind of extrapolation is so much fun because we are living through some fun tipping points, you know, the tipping point of solar and renewable, tipping points of surveillance, drone technology. Extrapolating these things just 20 years forward is fun.
Yeah. And I also want to say that if you want to give your work an enduring legacy, if you want to make it continue to feel realistic in the future, or at least salient in the future, the one really good way to do that is to understand that computer science theory is actually pretty static. Computer engineering is a very fast-moving field, but the theory on which it's built is pretty static. Like, since the war years, we've known how to build really one kind of computer. It's the Turing complete computer that can run every program that we can conceive of. Now, this has been a huge boon, because it means that if you can make computers faster and smaller than any program you can think of can run on them, it means that computers colonize everything. The device that you're listening to this on is a computer, and the house that you're in may be a computer at this point, in the sense that if you took the computers out, the house might become uninhabitable. If you have a pacemaker, you have a computer in your body. Your car is definitely a computer if it was made in the last 10 years. You trust your body to it, and it whisks you down the road at 80 miles an hour, or 5 miles an hour if you live in Los Angeles. That computer design, the one computer that can run every program, also has this major downside, which is we don't know how to not make it run undesirable programs, right? We don't know how to not make it run programs that pirate copyrighted works, and we don't know how to not make it run programs that are malicious, and we don't know how to make it run programs that are we don't want criminals to have access to, like encryption technology. There's this move now to restrict access to encryption technology so that criminals can't have conversations in secret. And it's somewhat of a moot question because, you know, you might say, well, in this country, we don't let you run that program, but how do you stop people from downloading that program and running it on their computer? We don't know how to make a computer that can't run the program, period. We don't know how to make an iPhone that can't run software that's blessed by Apple. And so this is a really interesting point, because our closest approximation is the Apple solution, which is a program that has spyware running on it that checks to see whether you're doing something the manufacturer disapproves of. And if you try to do it, it says, you know, I can't let you do that, Dave. And so that fact, that's a really important fact that like plays out in our policy all the time. And then a related fact that I alluded to is that we know how to make encryption that works, and we know how to make encryption that doesn't work. What we don't know how to make is encryption that works only when we need it to stop working, right? Like when criminals use it. And like, we keep trying, and it is a catastrophic failure because, you know, encryption is how we make sure that the firmware update in your pacemaker doesn't kill you in your boots. And if we say, well, we're going to ban working encryption, then what we really say is we're going to make it so that we can't validate the payloads that we send to your pacemaker to make sure that it's getting new firmware.
We can keep criminals from conspiring, but we can't keep them from killing you with the thing
right.
in your chest.
And indeed, they will continue to conspire. So both of these facts, and then the third fact about technology is that governments are really struggling to come to grips with both of these two other facts, that encryption works and that we only know how to make one kind of computer. And they will not cease to struggle with it because computers are colonizing every category of device, which means that they're central to every policy problem we have, which means that they'll keep making this mistake. If you make any one of or all three of those facts central to your fiction, it will continue to be a parable about all the bad things going on in our world, unfortunately, for the entire foreseeable future. And that means that you can have a book like Little Brother, the novel of mine that I'm really best known for, that I wrote in 2006, that continues to be cited as an incredibly, like, gripping, futuristic, salient tale that has something to tell us about our present day, only because it has this techno-realistic element to it.
You can also take a look at science from another aspect as well, and that's from medicine, which you touched on with pacemakers, mm-hmm. but you think about what we can do with DNA at this stage. Mm-hmm. For a while there, the main basis for why the FDA wouldn't allow organ transplant and organs to be grown in something like porcine, like pigs, was because pigs had a retrovirus that could potentially be transferable to humans, which would be terrible considering the time frame and what it could do. But now we have the ability, now in today's day and age, to adjust their genetic makeup and composition to eradicate that virus in that strain of pigs, and therefore making it safe. And we do now, there is a company that does it, grow kidneys in pigs and have gotten to successful transplants in primates and is proposed to potentially go to successful transplant for humans, which could change the lives of people who are on the list waiting for kidneys. Now, that doesn't take that much more in terms of steps forward mm-hmm. to imagining what that kind of science and that kind of medicine can do to change the near future. Or if we play with the zombie apocalypse, because at least one of my series has done that, we look at vaccines. Like BSE is a major thing that I do in my day job, or not do, but that's related to what I look at in terms of data in my day job to keep it safe. It's bovine spongiform encephalitis. It is non-transferable to humans, but what if it became transferable? Mm-hmm. What if that virus became transferable? Mm-hmm. You have zombies now. You have people with brains that look like Swiss cheese when you take a cut of it. So
delicious, delicious Swiss cheese.
I mean, we have Creutzfeldt-Jakob already, right? That's the human form of it, but it's thankfully very, very rare.
Very rare. And yet still, it's not that far in the future when you can see the zombie apocalypse coming out of that.
So what you're basically talking about here is taking a single point and following logical causal chains to see where it goes and the branching effects as you move forward. In many ways, what you're talking about is treating technology like a magic system.
Sure, and not trying to, you know, yes, it's good to have lots of, texture in there of other technologies, but not trying to play Nostradamus.
Yeah, yes.
Right? And instead trying to make up a little parable.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, let's go ahead and pause here for the book of the week.
Sure.
Which is one of yours.
Yeah. I wrote the most world-building-ish novel I wrote, I think, is called Walk Away. And it's the one with the fewest of what Carl Schrader calls the backless maiden from the Arthurian legend of the knight who meets the beautiful maiden, but she never shows her back to him. And then she steps in front of the fireplace and the fire flickers through her eyes and he realizes she has no back. And that's really so much of our fiction doesn't have a back to it. Walk Away, I really thought a lot about what was going on behind the scenes. It's an optimistic disaster novel, a utopian disaster novel. It's about people being good to each other in times of crisis and working to rebuild. And it's not a world in which there are good people and bad people. It's a world in which there are people who think that the world is made up of good people and bad people, and people who think that the world is made up of people who think that there are good people and bad people, and people like themselves who know that most people are just a mixed bag of goodness and badness, and that incentives and structures and exigencies determine whether we're good or bad at any given moment, and who are trying to make a world that brings out the good in everyone. It's full of people doing things like using drones to find garbage in blighted, climate-racked badlands, and then using software to figure out what kind of fully automated luxury communist resorts they can build out of garbage, and then moving into them and reveling in how cool it is until weird oligarchs come along and say, hey, that's my garbage. And then they walk away and find some more garbage in another blighted brownfield site to build on. And this is kind of their journey. And it goes well until they have a shot at practical immortality, which they acquire from scientists from the oligarch classes who decide that they're not going to be complicit in speciating the human race into infinitely prolonged plutocrats and mayflies disappearing in their rearview mirror, which is the rest of us. They steal the fire from the gods, bring it to us so that we can all be immortal too. And when rich people realize that they're going to have to spend the rest of eternity with us, they cease to see these walkaway communities as like cute bohemias they can steal fashion and art from, and instead bring out the hellfire missiles. And that's when it kind of all gets interesting and kicks off.
Hmm. So it's a simple novel.
Yeah, it's got a lot of moving parts, that book, for sure.
And it's a really fantastic audiobook, I have to say.
That's very kind of you.
It's very good, and I'm very picky about my audiobooks.
Well, you know, I produce the audiobook myself, and the readers are spectacular. The bulk of it is carried by Amber Benson from Buffy, but also we have Will Wheaton on it, and Myron Willis, and Gabrielle DeQuire, and guest appearance by Amanda Palmer. It's really a terrific audiobook.
And so that's Walk Away by Cory Doctorow.
Yeah.
So let's talk about world building for stories that are set in the present, because this is a thing that I think a lot of people overlook. They forget that you have to establish a world for people in the real world, especially if you're tweaking things a little bit, whether that is adding a single technological element to your present day or just even establishing a world within a closed ecosystem like a high school or a corporate structure that doesn't actually exist. So what are some of the ways that you think about world building when you're doing something in the present day?
I will say, and this is kind of a dangerous thing, but I will say that romance writers get a lot that we don't have to do world building.
Yeah.
Because...
Which is not true.
Exactly. Particularly contemporary or romantic suspense romance writers. Because of the fact that it is set in the modern day or contemporary times. But we do. One of the best world building that I can think of right off the top of my head is the Lucky Harbor series by Jill Chalvis, because it is small town. It's a made up small town on the in the Pacific Northwest. And it feels so real that you think a town is there. The people are real. The bed and breakfast is real. You go into town, the diner's real, you know, and buildings feel real. And you almost have a mental map in your head of where everything is. And that's because the world building is done so very well by that author. Because the author took the time to think about where this was going to be, what the weather was going to be, even what the highway would be like driving up to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how long it would take to walk down to the bed and breakfast. That is one of the key points. And what the actual focal points around the town were that built up over the course of all the books in the series. The series is so successful that it's gone to, like, I could be wrong, but I think it's around 9 to 12 books. Hmm. And that's pretty amazing for a contemporary romance to have the kind of world building where people, you think you know where like the Ferris wheel is, you think you know where the pier is, you think you know where the boat is docked that they hanky-pankied in this book, and then the tree that they fell out of that the person broke their leg in.
And the thing is that this kind of world building gives you opportunities for conflict. It gives you opportunities to add depth to the characters. It's not actually just world building for the sake of world building. It definitely makes things feel more real and gives the reader some a way to ground. I read a novel for professional reasons that I can't recommend, and so I'm not going to name, in which all of the love interests were retired baseball players, and like in a
that
small,
narrows it down.
Yes, in a small town, and I'm like the economics of being retired baseball players in small towns, and they were all people who had been forcibly retired. So, but none of them had other jobs, and it was like, how does that...
Like, it sounds paranormal.
Yeah. It does, and it was not.
It's the how do the friends afford that apartment in New York problem.
Yes, exactly that problem, which is why the world building, it's like the only one who had a job was a barista, as far as we can... I mean, technically the others had jobs, but it was...
The I've talked about it in other contexts. The CBS Elementary, the Sherlock Holmes show, is set in present-day New York, but the world building, you know, there is the massive criminal organization run by Moriarty. There is the massive business organization run by Moreland Holmes. And these elements, there are callbacks to these things throughout it. The precinct, the officers, the judges, the brownstone that Holmes lives in, all of these details have been overlaid on a New York that feels very real to me, who doesn't live in New York. But the series gets good reviews from people who do live in New York. They've managed to blend location research with some fun world building and some fun callbacks to the Conan Doyle Holmes from...
My favorite example of contemporary SF world building is William Gibson's Pattern Recognition trilogy. Mm. And these are science fiction novels that were each set about 2 years before they came out. So a science fiction novel set in 2003 that came out in 2005, that sort of thing. And they are science fiction novels about people, particularly New Yorkers, after 9/11, living through the rise of the surveillance state. And a lot of the characters are spooks, and a lot of the characters are sort of spook adjacent or in the crosshairs of spooks. And it's about people living through a moment of absolute technological upheaval. And what he does is he approaches it, this thing that had happened in our recent past, he approaches it as though it were a great technical upheaval that people were living through, which we had, but it had been just long enough that we'd become adapted to it. And the shock of them was just spectacular. And it reminds me of my favorite Brian Eno aphorism. Brian Eno has this thing called the deck of oblique strategies that he used when he was recording Roxy Music and a bunch of other bands, which were these like gnomic aphorisms that you would draw out of a deck of cards and he would make everyone try and do it. My favorite one is, be the first person to not do something that no one else has ever thought of not doing before. And there's so many times where this comes up and when I'm thinking about how you might try something new. And Gibson wrote futuristic science fiction about the recent past. He was the first person not to set futuristic science fiction in the future. It was great.
Every one of us has our mouths drop open right now. Yeah. The faces that we have in the room.
Oh, Brian Eno's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Came up with a Windows 95 chime.
Really?
Yeah, that was he's the startup. He made the startup music for Windows 95.
Had no idea. Yeah. Well, on that note, let's go ahead.
I think you mean,
Thank you. Let's go ahead and give our fair listeners a homework assignment. Corey?
Sure. One of the things that's often missing from world building is economics. I think it was Stephen Bruce that observed that you can always tell if a Marxist has written your fantasy novel because the ratio of vassals to lords is right. I wrote a novel about gift economies, and gift economies are economies in which things are not given on a reciprocal basis. That's barter. Things are given with no expectation of return. And we've just lived through a kind of 40-year social experiment in making everything transactional, where you know, there is no such thing as society, and greed is good, and selfishness produces pre-optimal outcomes. And it's hard not to reciprocate. But if you think through the things in your life that are non-reciprocal, you'll find that some of the most important things in your life are non-reciprocal, right? Like, if you came out and said to your partner, look, the only reason I'm married to you is that I expect that when the day comes and I can't wipe my own ass, that you're going to do it for me in thanks for all the times I brought you a cup of coffee, that you would be a kind of human monster, right? Make a list of 10 things in your life that are purely non-reciprocal, that you do only for the pleasure of giving something to someone else, the intrinsic pleasure of giving something to someone else.
That is a great homework assignment. And with that, you are out of excuses. Now go write. This episode of Writing Excuses was recorded by Bert Grimm and mastered by Alex Jackson. Your hosts for this episode were Mary Robinette Kowal, Piper J. Drake, Howard Taylor, and special guest Cory Doctorow.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.